Good evening, everyone. Ooh. Wow, this feels really loud. Is it all right? Okay. Oh my gosh. Is everyone ready for Thanksgiving? No? Yeses and noes. The spirit of Thanksgiving, maybe? I'm going to move my toolbox back here. Well, last weekend was pretty amazing for me. I got to be a part of a walk to Emmaus, got to be on the team, and I don't know, most of you may not even know what that was, but it was a true honor to be a part of it, and God really moved, and I feel like that walk was, for me, better than my actual walk to Emmaus. I feel like God really did a lot of things in me, even though I was there to really be part of the team and help to bring the other people. And one of the funny things was that God kept telling me, I don't know, how many of you have been on a walk to Emmaus? These guys haven't. Okay. Anyway, the Lord, I felt like a horse at the gate with waiting for the doors to come open, you know. I wanted to pour out everything I knew to these women that I had. And the Lord kept saying, it's in my timing. Slow down. We have 3 days. Just slow down and just watch and observe. And one of the things I've learned, I think it was a couple of years ago, I learned this saying, ask more than tell. Ask more than tell. When you're having conversation with somebody, instead of telling them everything, start asking questions. Find out where they are. Find out. Ask questions. Get them to talking. Get them to start talking about themselves and asking questions that aren't yes and no questions, which I've really had to learn how to do this because I have been a teller. I found that out. I have been a teller. So the Lord's kind of put the reins back, and he's like, just slow down and start asking questions. Start finding out about these ladies. Find out where they're at. Well, it was so awesome because by the time that the walk was over, I had the honor and the privilege to say the sinner's prayer with two of the ladies that were on my table. There were two ladies with me. It was so awesome. And it happened so graciously the way the Lord did it, because he whispered to me what to say. And it was to ask a question. And then to ask another question. And then to ask another question. And pretty soon they were telling me what they needed. I'm like, I can help you with that. And it was really simple. And so I got to lead these two ladies to make Jesus the Lord and the Savior of their life. It was the most incredible weekend of my life. Really awesome. One of the things, Maggie Gunn has been teaching Sunday school, and it has been incredible. It has been so amazing. And I can't even remember what exactly does she call the title, because it's perfect, because I've been listening to her CDs. It was on the screen, but it's about learning about the gifts of the Spirit, learning about the gifts of God, which are the manifold gifts of God in the body, and about the gifts that God's placed on the inside of you, and, you know, the motivational gifts and all these things. And it is so good. I had to go to San Antonio yesterday, and so I took all of her CDs and I listened to them, and it's so good. And for anybody, I just recommend everybody in the church needs to listen to them, because it's so comprehensive, and she does such a perfect way of teaching it. She gives you what it is, and then she gives you a little synopsis about what it is, and even an example sometime about how this looks. And I think a lot of times in the body of Christ, we don't know our fit. I know I didn't know my fit for the long time. What's it called? Recognizing, releasing, and flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. And she's only not even probably a third of the way through it, right? Because she's just now has discussed the fivefold ministry. She has two more? Okay, she has two more Sundays. So anyway, I just encourage you to invite people to come, because it's really worth it. And she always does a little review. So if you haven't been, anyway, fantastic. And I think she just needs to teach it again in the near future. I had a dream or something, some kind of vision, and I was sitting on the Lord's shoulders, and he had me looking over his shoulder. I think I was like on a piggyback ride or something. I don't really know. I can't describe it. But when I was looking over his shoulder, he says, come take a look over my shoulder. And his hands were dirty. And I said, what are you doing? What are you doing? What's going on? He said, I'm still working on my people. I haven't taken my hands away. I'm still in the midst of them, and I'm working. His hands were dirty, and I was reminded of the scripture in Isaiah 45. It talks about the potter. Let's just go there real quick. Isaiah 45. It says, woe to him, 45 verse 9, it says, woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd of striving with the potsherd of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? And I think a lot of times we strive with the Lord in where he wants us and what he wants us to do. I think that we have a hard time finding our place. And Maggie was just talking about this, about the body of Christ and how the body is supposed to be fitly joined together, every part of it doing its part. Whether you are the thumb, whether you are the ear, the mouth, whatever it is, God has a part for you in the body of Christ. It's not to be a bystander. It's not to sit and watch everybody else do something. And I know in my own life, I was frustrated because I didn't know what my part was. And I really, really wanted to know what it was. And the only way to find out what your part is in the body of Christ is to do something. You have to do something. Step into something and say, what can I do? Where is there a need? And so that's what I did. I just found out what the need was. The church needed to be clean. So guess what I did? I cleaned the church. I worked in the nursery. I volunteered. We were sending tracts to Mexico, and they would mail us back an envelope in Spanish, which I cannot speak a lick of, and cut it out, paste it on an envelope, and mail Bibles. That was one of my volunteer ministry jobs, was to send Bibles into Mexico. I did that. And then we started a children's ministry, so I got involved in children's ministry to see if that was a fit for me. I was a clown. I did puppets. We'd sang songs. We did all kinds of crazy things. And in doing that, what it did was it helped instill in me ministry to children, which was amazing. And we did that for a really long time, and I loved it. And then there was a need in our youth ministry, and so Dwayne and I stepped in to help with our youth, because Robert and Laura became pastors, and so Dwayne and I became the youth ministers and started ministering to the youth until our boys got to the age where they needed somebody else to be ministering to them, because they got their parents at home all the time. And so God then, you know, moved us around. So anyway, my point is that every one of you has a place in the body of Christ to do something. And one of the things that the Lord reminded me about today was God's not looking for great people or people who have it all together. That's not really his agenda. He's looking for foolish people, weak people, base people, the ones who are not, who think that there's nothing for them, because God says that I use the weak things. And he says, in your weakness, that's where I'm going to be made strong. So he's not looking for somebody who's fully equipped. He's looking for someone who's willing. He's looking for the one to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Like the song we were singing, where you go, I go. What you say, I will say. And so when we go into with our families this week or this weekend, I think that we need to have an attitude of listening and asking more than telling, and just letting our light shine before others in a way that they see us, they can see Jesus in us. And if it means zipping the lip and biting the tongue, that's what we have to do. And just a perfect example of this real recently is I have been worried about my youngest son. I mean, everybody pretty much knows that, but the Lord just keeps telling me. It's like the horse at the gate. It's like, I want to say something. I want to do something. And he says, I just need you to trust me. Trust me. So the other night we were sitting, we were just sitting there together. It was at night. We were fixing to go to bed. And I said, can I ask you a question? Yes, you can ask me a question. I said, is there something that's happened that you don't want to be in church, or is there something going on? And he's like, no. He said, I'm going to be back in church. But I asked. I didn't tell. And I said, oh, that would be so awesome. I said, your dad's preaching Sunday, and JC's going to be here. And he says, well, JC really wants to see the church, his girlfriend. And so the Lord just said, zip it. Okay, right now, just zip it. Don't say anymore. He's like, okay, God. So I didn't say anything else. So, you know, all weekend long, I'm not saying anything. I haven't thought anything. I don't even bring it up Sunday morning when we're getting ready and I'm making breakfast for everybody. I don't say a word. And JC says, I got a new dress just for church. And I'm like, all right, that's so great. I'm so excited. So anyway, so Michael walks in, you know, the back and has his hands in his pocket. And of course, you know, our church, what do? You're bombarded by people, right? And you're just, and so I just, my prayer was, is Lord, just let your love break all that off. Let your love just break all that off to where there's no inhibitions, there's no shame, there's no anything. You know, you haven't been to church in 6 months. Who cares? No one cares. Everyone's thrilled because you walked through the door. And there's no judgment when you walk through the door. And so he was like, that was really good. That was really good. And so the whole time I'm standing back there and we're in church and praise and worship, the Lord's telling me, trust me. It's like letting something go. You know how you pick something up? You know that poem that I read to you last time? We give it to God, and then we take it back. And he's like, hey, you haven't even given any time to work on that. Well, Lord, you just weren't fast enough. But he's like, I need you to leave it with me, and I'm going to complete it. I'm going to finish it, because guess who started it? You didn't start it. I started it, God says. I'm like, oh man, Lord, you're right. So one of the things that I wrote down was that we would be bold enough to proclaim his word in a way that can be received. In other words, we don't want to be ashamed of the gospel. And when we're with people, that we would have an attitude that expressing God's word in a way that is in love, you know, and that we're caring about them. It's not about judgment or you need to, or it's because God's love compels us. Does that make sense? That God's love is what compels us to want to reach out to somebody, not to where they're going to feel judged by us. And, you know, I'm not telling you that you can control what somebody else is going to be thinking about you. I mean, if they're going to judge you one way or the other, but God's word is, there's power in it. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is power, right? So there's power behind the word. And God's just saying, I just don't want you to be ashamed of my word. And if you can share my word in such a way that it's not offensive, then that word's going to break things off of people. And one of the things that I learned, I heard this from somebody, and it's something that you can use if you just don't want to say, well, you know, the Bible says. I say, you know, my favorite author says, if you trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your understanding, I just say, my favorite author says that. Somebody said that, and it's like, oh, that's so good. Because I've used that with people who aren't saved. And I'll just use a scripture out of the Bible that's not, doesn't even talk about God, but it'll say something about, you know, you're not supposed to be anxious about anything. But with prayer, you're supposed to let your you know, request be made known to God. And they're like, really? So I went to a massage therapist yesterday to work on my back. And I'm not really sure where she's at. I've been to see her a few times. She's a super sweet gal. And God just put us together, because it's like when we see each other, it's like it's been 2 weeks and it's really been 6 months. And So she just starts talking to me about her family and talking to me about all this kind of stuff, and I just interject little things here and there, and she asks me questions, and I'll just answer little things here and there about, oh my gosh, I'm so blessed because of this, 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 this. You know, so she kind of knows. Well, then she starts talking in this completely different vein because she knows that I'm a Christian. And so she'll say, so she says things like, I just totally lost my train of thought. I just really committed that her kids go to see their dad in New York. And I said, well, how are you with that? She says, I've just committed that to God. I can't do anything about it. And so I've just committed that to God. I'm like, oh, that is so great. Doesn't that just bring peace to your heart when you just let things like that go? She said, it really does. And I'm like, have you quit worrying about them? I asked a question. She said, no, I still kind of worry about them, but they stay in touch with me and they talk to me. And I'm like, well, you know, God really cares about that. He doesn't want you worrying about things like that. And so whenever I get ready to go, she's like, it's always so good to see you. She said, I always feel so good after we've gone together. And so I just know there's going to come a time where I'm going to be able to say, have you made that decision? Because it sure sounds like you're really close. And that's what happened with me this last weekend. There's a woman, precious, beautiful woman, and she talked about God. And she talked about, and she'd cry every time she talked about him. And it's like, I've done this, and it's just all about the guilt that she was feeling on the inside. But she talks to God about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so beautiful. That is what God wants you to do. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to give those things to him. But guess what? He died for all that. You don't have to live with the heaviness of that guilt anymore. And so I saw her sitting over against a wall, and the Lord said, go over there and sit down beside her. So I went over and sat down beside her. I just waited, sat there and waited. And she finally looked up and she saw me. I said, can I ask you a question? She said, yeah. I said, I hear you talk about God. And I said, I can really tell you love him. I said, but have you ever asked him, invited him to just like come and live with you, like live in you, and like so he'll never ever leave again? She's like, no, I've never heard of that. I've never even heard about doing that. I'm like, well, would you like to? She's like, oh, yes. Oh, my gosh, yes. I want everything God has for me. So how simple was that? But who does the work? Who does that drawing? You know, God is the one who's pulling and drawing those people and preparing them to receive a word, a question like that. Are you ready to do that? I mean, it was the most beautiful, simplest, amazing thing I've ever done in my life. Now, how many of you have ever done it and it's been like hard? And it's like you're pushing for it to happen and you're talking them into it. You're talking them into getting saved. And we know that that's just not the timing of the Lord. So I think just as we grow as a body and we grow in what God's doing in us, we're going to find that more and more. And I feel like the way that the direction we're going with what everyone's preaching is God's preparing us. God is preparing us because he needs us, because there is a harvest coming into the kingdom of God. And we all have to be ready for it. We all have to be. The only thing that happens in here is an equipping. This is an equipping for you to go out into your mission field, into where you're, the people that you're around. We're being equipped here. And so you need everything that you have, everything that you can get from God. You need his power. And so one of the things I was thinking about is that when we get saved, we get sealed with the Holy Spirit, right? He seals us, and it's like we are preserved. I just think about a can of preserves, you know, and it's got that seal on it, and whatever's on the inside, it is good until it is cracked open. And that means until God comes back and gets us with the Holy Spirit, right? Salvation. And even Jesus breathed on his disciples before he left. Before they got filled with the Holy Spirit, he breathed on them, right? Do you remember that story? I can't remember if I wrote it down. John 20:21. Okay, so John 20:21, Jesus breathes on him, and basically he says, okay, now you're sealed. But then, let's see. He said, This is when he shows himself to the apostles, and he says, so he's already raised from the dead. And verse 21, he said, Jesus said to them, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Okay, so he's getting ready to commission them to go out. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, so he breathed on them. So to me, that was like the salvation experience, because what did he tell them after that? He said, go and wait. Okay, so he breathes on them the Holy Spirit, but that wasn't the infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's two different things going on, right? And so then he says in Acts 1, he says, I want you to wait. We all know this story. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here, I feel like. But you shall receive power, Acts 1. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so what did they do in Acts 2? They were waiting. Okay, so when the day of Pentecost had fully come, who was it? It was the disciples, and all those people were waiting, right? But if Jesus had already breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit, they would have already, they wouldn't be there waiting for it, right? So there's two different things going on here. So when the day of fully, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with in one accord, and that's when the Holy Spirit came, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. So this is the picture that the Lord gave me. I mean, everything he shows me is, it seems like it's always in pictures. So I might need my assistant. Do you want to be my assistant? Yeah. Okay. So here I have a cordless drill. And it has a battery on it that allows it to go. My grandson loves to push the button. He knows how to make it go. Okay. Now I have my board. This is from Michael's house. A little piece of something here. Okay, so if you're building a house, how would you like it if you were having to put the boards together with screws and a screwdriver? How fun would that be? This is how we are. You know, we have the equipment. We can do this. Alyssa, I might need you to come up here. Hang on a second. Let's see if I can do this. Okay, so I can get the screw in the board with the screwdriver. I feel certain that I can't and make it stay there. Hold on. I got to use my left hand. Oopsie. Oopsie. Okay. Yeah, right. Right through my Bible. Okay, clearly you can see that might take a while. So this is just what the Lord showed me. When we get saved and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, we have a measure of power. We have a measure that he has deposited on the inside of us that we can get the job done. But what he wants to do is he wants to fill us with his power. He wants us to be fully equipped with the power, with the battery pack here. This is what he wants us to have, because with this, we can get it. So when Michael and my dad are working on his house, guess what they're using? They're using the drill. And they're getting those screws in, and they're getting, and not just a hammer, not just a hammer nails, even though he does have that, but they have this, what's that thing called? Oh my gosh. This nail gun will throw nails like as fast as you can do it. Just boom, 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 boom. And it's got power behind it. That's what, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, that second measure in Acts 2, that is why it is so important to get filled with the Holy Spirit, because that's where the power comes to be equipped to build the house, to do whatever God's telling you to do. He wants you to have this. And guess what happens when this battery runs out? It has to be charged up again. And that's how we are. This is not going to last forever. We have to stay plugged in, like Dwayne Hillis has been saying. Stay plugged in. So when this runs low, guess what happens? It goes like this. That's what it sounds like. And sometimes that's what we sound like when we're not fully charged. And we need to be plugged in. And this is what it sounds like. Oh, yeah. We're going on all eight cylinders. So my encouragement is that when you're visiting with someone, have boldness. enough to tell them what the truth of the word is. Because there's power in the word. And when the word goes forth, it's not your word, it's God's word. And he promises that it wasn't going to return void. No matter what situation, where you're sitting across a coffee table, whether you're in a grocery store, wherever it is. Bless her heart, I was in Walmart and this little lady was having the worst trouble. She couldn't scan anything. She had the little scanner thing and she couldn't get it to read the deal. And I said, sweetie, are you having a bad day? She said, the worst day of my life. I'm like, well, I'm going to be praying for you. She says, I need your prayers. And I'm like, okay, do you want me to pray for you right now? She said, it probably wouldn't be appropriate, but I do need your prayers. And I said, I'll be praying for you all day. You're going to be coming to my thoughts all day long. But it's opportunities like that. Who knows what just that little bit would do for somebody, right? But if we don't have the power, if we don't have the battery charged up, we're going to walk right past that. We're going to be annoyed and irritated because she couldn't get the job done, right? But if we're fully charged and powered up, we're going to look at that as an opportunity to say, darling, wow, you're having a really bad day, and I'm sorry. I'm going to pray for, you know, God to give you favor and put the right people across your path that you're going to be blessed today. I'm just so grateful that God's in our life, aren't you? And I'm so thankful. And before you go to bed tonight, I just want you to write down things that you're grateful for. And everybody can find, I know you can find 25 things. I mean, if we just focus on him, he'll just show you all the things that you can be grateful for. And go into this weekend with gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. That was one thing you told me. Just have an attitude of gratitude. And whatever's going to be going on, you just put a smile on your face and let the Lord just carry you through it. Amen? Okay, that's what I got to say. Hallelujah. I'm glad I got to share my thing.
So now we need to change our phones to stay plugged in so you'll be charged up. How about that? So it'll pop up. You got a dual deal going there. Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you, Tracy. Well, praise God. Ushers, help me tonight. Let's take up our offering. You need an offering envelope, they'll get you one. Don't forget about the coats. If you've gotten a number for a coat or whatever you call it, a size for the coat, then next Wednesday we'll get all those gathered up. You got them now? Ask Laura where she wants you to put them. Don't tell me or I won't remember.